beginning yesterday, Wisconsin's Joint Finance Committee is traveling around the state listening to what the public thinks about Governor Walker's budget proposal.
Since taking office, one of the governor's most recognizable slogans has been that Wisconsin is open for business. So how is that slogan borne out in his budget and in what he's done so far as governor?
In order to answer that question, we'd like to hear from you. If you're a business executive in Wisconsin, we especially want to hear your thoughts. Or have you sought out workforce training or maybe a job over the past 4 years? How do you think the governor's policies have affected you? And how do you think his current budget could affect you? You can reach us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
Mary Eisbister joins us now. She's the president of GenMet, a metal fabricator in Mequon, Wisconsin. She's also the chair of the Governor's Council on Workforce Investment and was the co-chair of the U.S. Manufacturing Council, reporting to the U.S. Secretary of Commerce. Mary, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you very much.
So you work in manufacturing. What kind of policies do you feel are key to the success of manufacturing here in the state?
Well, the things that affect businesses generally are very similar. So manufacturing is not an exception. Lower taxes that allow our businesses to be more competitive, whether we're competing with other states or other countries, is very important. Ensuring that we have an infrastructure within the state to support good business. And then certainly probably one of the most important things, and this is very, very relevant to manufacturing, it's the workforce. You know, our people really, at the end of the day, are what make us good businesses, and a highly skilled workforce is going to make our manufacturing businesses the most globally competitive.
Now, there's a balancing act in any government. How much can you lower taxes while still trying to pay for the infrastructure you mentioned, education to provide that workforce? Where do you see the way, or how do you see Wisconsin doing when it comes to balancing out those two sides?
You make an excellent point, and it's interesting that I believe Governor Walker has begun to operate the state and creating a budget for the state very much the way a business would. And creating a budget for a business is a difficult task. Creating a budget for a state is nearly an impossible task. And it's very much that balancing act that you referred to. Some of the key principles when you think about how you run an effective business is, how do you not starve the things that give you a competitive advantage while still being fiscally responsible and not being overly leveraged with a lot of debt? And I think what the governor is trying to do is spur economic growth and development by lowering taxes, and he's been a particular friend to the manufacturing sector with regard to the zero manufacturing taxes that our businesses now this year get to take advantage of, and having to find efficiencies and ways to look for waste and cut those things and try to very much it's a balancing act, as you said, and I'm of the personal opinion that taxes are not necessarily a bad thing. They are absolutely necessary to support education, infrastructure, all of the things that government should be responsible for. It's just a matter of ensuring that they're spent responsibly and in a way that allows our businesses in the state to be competitive, because that's really, at the end of the day, how people stay employed and how the state can continue to be healthy overall.
Well, I want to get into some of the details of how Governor Walker's policies have affected the way you do business there. And you mentioned that manufacturing tax, that the change that kicked in this year. Can you just lay out for us, how does that actually work at your business? What does that allow you to do?
Sure. So when we are providing pricing to our customers, and again, this is probably not unique to manufacturing, there's pressure that's put on all businesses from competition, and again, whether it's local or international, to do a couple of things. One, certainly not to raise prices, if at all, to lower prices, and oftentimes to reduce lead times. So it's very challenging to do those things if taxes continue to increase or other fixed expenses continue to increase, right? So finding ways to return value to your customer at the same or lower prices, one of the key things that we can do is when we know that taxes will be less, we can actually reduce our quotes or keep them the same over time, and it gives us a competitive advantage over other states that maybe aren't doing that or have different tax policies or are increasing business taxes. Internationally, the United States has the highest tax rate of any developed country, and so it really does make it challenging to be competitive internationally if we have really high tax rates. So that has really been advantageous for our ability to control prices long term.
Does it allow you to invest more in your business, say new manufacturing equipment or hiring more workers, having those kind of tax changes?
Without a doubt. Being a small business, we are organized as an S corp, and a lot of small businesses are, you know, what they call pass-through entities, where we actually are taxed as individuals rather than as large corporations, and we don't have access to a lot of the tax mitigators that large corporations do. So having a reduction in our overall tax on manufacturing activities absolutely leaves more money in the business for investment, both in technology, new equipment, new processes, and for allowing us to hire more people. Some of that advantage is being offset a little bit by increase in insurance costs and Affordable Care insurance costs. But, you know, anytime that we have an opportunity to save money, I know our business in particular, we're always looking to make those good investments because it's how we stay competitive and it's how we grow.
Well, that's on the tax side. I want to get to the regulation side of things. Republicans, business people as well, often talk about the need to have less red tape so businesses can function more efficiently. Do you have an example of how that might have changed for your business since Governor Walker became governor?
Sure. And I hope it's okay if I kind of make a distinction between regulation and red tape.
Okay.
The businesses, I can't think of any business that, you know, wants to avoid regulations that are important to ensure that we have clean water, clean air, clean environment. You know, sometimes I think business gets a bad rap because, you know, we sometimes have issues with excessive regulations. Nobody wants those bad things, but what's important is that the reporting requirements and the ability to interact with government agencies is easier, and especially again for small businesses where we don't have people who are dedicated to government relations or specifically for the administrative aspects of complying with excessive regulations, having them be easy to understand, easy to comply with, and you know, not excessively burdensome is extremely important. Oftentimes, businesses spend an awful lot of time and money, and we call those non-value-added activities because it's really not changing how we do business. It's just complying with certain regulations. My personal experience has been very positive since Governor Walker has come into office. we have noticed a number of things. As all businesses, we have certain regulations that the DNR requires us to comply with. It has been much easier to work with the DNR. The folks are much more easily accessible. When we have questions, we get them answered in a much more timely fashion. And the overall reporting requirements seem to be more concise and kind of made easier for businesses to do the right thing. And so the cost of compliance is a lot lower. And I think that what, you know, the governor has referred to, the fact that they're seeing many fewer citations, I think that's because when you make it easy to comply, businesses in general want to do the right thing.
Well, and that's been a point of some criticism, that the DNR is issuing fewer citations, saying that might give an incentive for more violations. If people aren't worried about being cited, it sounds like you don't worry about that?
Well, I don't agree with that, because I don't think any business intentionally goes out to pollute or you know, do things that aren't consistent with good environmental policy. There's a lot of positive motivation to do the right thing in business. A lot of our customers give us preferred status if we can demonstrate sustainability programs, good environmental impact, things like that. So there's a lot of positive reinforcement for doing the right thing. And I would like to believe that ultimately the fewer citations is not a result of catching fewer bad guys, but really helping people do the right thing. And the state has really worked hard to make people available to businesses to provide them the information that they need to be able to comply.
We're talking to Mary Eisbister. She's president of GenMet, a metal fabricator based in Mequon, talking about how Governor Walker's policies so far, and we'll get to his new budget in a bit, are affecting businesses here in Wisconsin.
And we'd like to hear from you, particularly if you're a business executive in Wisconsin, at 800-642-1234. The governor has often said that Wisconsin is open for business. Has that been the case in your experience? And do you think his budget proposal has made the state more business-friendly? Call 800-642-1234, or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. We're continuing our conversation about whether Governor Walker's slogan, Wisconsin is open for business, has held up during the past 4 years, and if his current budget proposal serves that idea.
We're talking to Mary Eisbister. She's president of GenMet, a metal fabricator based in Mequon. She's the chair of Governor Walker's Council on Workforce Investment and was vice chair of the U.S. Manufacturing Council.
And we'd like to hear from you at 800-642-1234, particularly if you're a business executive or business owner here in Wisconsin, or if you've sought out workforce training, maybe looking for a job in the past 4 years. How have Governor Walker's policies affected your business, and what do you think about his budget? Call us at 800-642-1234, or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And let's, Mary, turn to the governor's new budget proposal. It's in the works. A lot of things could change. One of the biggest points of debate and biggest points that might change is this proposed $300 million cut to the UW system, along with flexibilities for the system. First, what role do you see the UW system itself playing in Wisconsin's business outlook in providing qualified workers for the jobs we have?
I think the UW system is absolutely essential to the workforce of the future for Wisconsin. A great many of the UW system graduates stay in Wisconsin and are key and instrumental to building our businesses. I have found personally that the UW system is very responsive to local business needs and often will develop curriculum based on what, you know, their interaction with business tells them the future will bring in terms of new kinds of jobs, new kinds of careers and new technologies. I think we are very lucky in Wisconsin to have an exceptional university system, and I can't imagine what it would be like not to have it.
And when it comes to workforce development, what are you looking for in a manufacturing worker?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Over the last 10 years, the workforce in manufacturing has evolved. 10 or more years ago, if you think about it as a triangle, the base of the triangle were the lesser skilled positions where people could come right out of high school and enter the workforce and be very successful in those kinds of jobs. There was sort of the middle of the triangle were some of the higher skilled positions, maybe your journeyman fabricators or your middle management. And then at the top, you know, the peak of the triangle, there was the you know, really, really long-term, high-skilled positions and your management. Today, the workforce looks a bit more like a diamond. At the bottom, that point, very few low-skilled jobs. So much has changed in manufacturing. It is truly a technology business today, and it's at the point where there aren't very many positions any longer that someone just coming right out of high school will really be qualified to do. What most manufacturing people need is at a minimum a two-year, certainly a one-year preferred a two-year technical degree, and actually a large number of people are getting four-year degrees or apprenticeships. That's kind of the middle of the diamond. And then again, at the top, you have, you know, your really specialty positions, very, very high skilled and high management positions. But the workforce it has to up its game. Manufacturing is a very advanced science these days and is going to continue to be that way. And it's the demands are going to continue to increase for capability to enter the field.
Well, and Mary, when we look at that middle part, the big part of the diamond there, what do you think of Governor Walker's policies so far or in the new budget proposal when it comes to preparing the workforce to take the jobs in that middle part of the diamond, whether we're talking about education, job retraining, anything like that?
Yeah, there's actually a lot of really good things that the governor has put in place, both in this budget and his previous budget. Wisconsin Fast Forward is a grant program that represents the first time in Wisconsin history where state monies have been put aside for workforce training. Prior to that, all of the money that comes into the state is from the Department of Labor, the federal Department of Labor, for workforce training. But with the Wisconsin Fast Forward, actually state monies were put aside. That program has been highly successful, and I think one of the criteria that has made it so successful is that it is a public-private partnership that happens. Businesses have to be the sponsors, have to demonstrate that there is a job either currently existing or will exist for the folks that are being trained. And that's very, very important. The technical college system in Wisconsin has been, as well as the UW system, have both been excellent partners. And a lot of that training has focused on incumbent workers who need a new skill level because technology is evolving. It also has focused on bringing folks into the workforce, perhaps in a little bit more specialized or highly specialized skill that, again, either the technical college or the UW system has developed a unique curriculum for. That has been, number one, very successful in terms of getting folks into the workforce or keeping them in the workforce where otherwise that might not have been the case.
And Mary, I just want to jump in and bring a caller on before we run out of time. We've got Charlie on the line in Milwaukee. Charlie, hi.
Hi, I just wanted to ask a question for your guest. Is that now that we're a right-to-work state, wasn't there a role for the unions in maintaining and promoting worker education, and are we going to lose some of that?
Mary, we just have a few moments left. Quick thoughts on unions, their role, past and present, just a minute or so.
Sure, absolutely. So where I've seen the unions have their biggest positive impact is primarily in the construction trades. They've developed over the years exceptional apprentice programs, and they provide really exceptional worker training. I believe Right to Work won't change that, because folks that see value in accessing and participating in that training will still want to be part of the unions.
Mary, thank you so much for spending the time with us today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
That's Mary Eisbister. She's president of GenMet, a metal fabricator based in Mequon. We're talking about how Governor Walker's policies are affecting businesses here in the state. You can continue the conversation over at the Central Time Facebook page.